let's do the thing. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
We're here again.
Yes, we are.
Number 36. Last week we had nothing to talk about.
Do we have anything this week?
I mean, we could start off with the, like, really depressing news. Sean O'Hare died this week.
Yeah.
I've seen him. I don't necessarily remember him. That's a guy who should have made it big. He's a WCW guy, is why he didn't make it big.
Yeah, but I mean, even when he was released from WWE, I mean, they gave him not a fair shot, I won't go that far, but I mean, they put him on TV, they gave him a couple angles, and he was kind of doing okay for a little bit, but with his look and ability, he should have been doing a lot more. Of course, that was also, like, that was the same time they dropped the ball with, like, Matt Morgan and Mark Jindrak and a couple other big guys who could go. They had the look and the talent, and they just, for whatever reason, couldn't find a place for him. And it's sad. He should have been much bigger than he was.
Oh, God, Matt Morgan. We got a real big hoss. What are we going to do? Let's have him hit Stutter.
Yeah, let's give him the old Bubba Dudley gimmick.
Now, it is being reported that the cause of death for Sean Hare, they revealed today, is suicide.
Yeah.
Which I thought for sure it would be steroids yesterday.
That, I hate to say that I did too. Not that this is better, but
every time you hear there's a wrestler dead in his 40s, it's always steroid abuse. Jesus. And then also in that same vein, Richard Kiel, who played Jaws in the James Bond franchise, passed away like hours ago before we started recording this. Like, it just hit the wire that he passed away.
That one surprises me because I did not know he was still alive. also sad, but again.
Also sad.
I thought he died a couple years ago.
This news comes just a few weeks after they announced they were trying to cast a Jaws-type character for the next Bond movie. Not a Jaws reboot necessarily, but a memorable villain in the vein of Jaws and Odd Job. Do you even care about James Bond? Do you even watch those?
Like, the worst James Bond video game that I've ever played was more enjoyable than the best James Bond film that I've seen.
That's unfortunate, because there are some really shitty James Bond games.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. They've just never really got me. And I've heard these latest Daniel Craig ones are a lot better than a lot of the like old versions.
Yeah.
But I don't have much of a shit to give about James Bond.
The new ones are definitely more action-oriented than spy-oriented. I've only seen Casino Royale, and I really enjoyed it. I just haven't got around to seeing the other two yet.
Mm-hmm. What was the second one that he was in?
Quantum of Solace?
I heard that one was a turd.
Yeah. My favorite thing I heard about that was the name sounds weird, but it's got a reason. It's called Quantum of Solace because Solace is the bad guy group that James Bond kind of fights throughout the movie, or Quantum, because Quantum's the group. And then it's called Solace because James Bond is sad.
Is there a money penny to fuck in him?
Not yet. Maybe in the third one. The second one, he was still sad because the girl he was boning in the first movie was a bad guy.
Oh, that always does put a downer on things.
I put my boner in you. Fun fact about Richard Kiel, he was originally cast to be the Incredible Hulk on the 70s live-action series.
Yeah, I could see it.
He was replaced by Ferrigno because he was tall enough but not broad enough. It was like a real tall, skinny Hulk.
Right. Richard Kiel's never had like a bodybuilder physique despite being gigantic.
Yeah. That being said, there is still like one scene in the pilot for The Incredible Hulk where Richard Kiel is the Hulk.
this is the most compelling podcast.
I know. I just always thought that was interesting to go back and see that. What have you been up to this week, Mike? Do you have anything more compelling?
Not really.
Not really?
I've been trying to find a reason to not kill myself all week.
Well, this just became the most interesting podcast on the internet. I have been a video production machine the past 2 days. I've knocked out 4 videos.
It's gonna come back to that, isn't it?
Yep. No, it's not. But Friday is a new Mortal Kombat, and you should all watch.
You mean earlier today?
Kayfabe is just... I didn't mean to kayfabe you guys. I'm sorry. Every time you think you've forgotten that Sting once said kayfabe, I'm gonna just bring it up.
Well, he was doing it to work Joseph Park.
To work him?
To work him, brother.
To work him, brother.
You, Kevin doing Hulk Hogan now? I guess his is brother. It's not brother. Not brother.
Not brother.
He's got the wrong speech impediment. I'm sorry for anyone who has a speech impediment listening to this.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Mortal Kombat came out earlier today.
And I won everything. I won all the matches. I've had a weird issue on YouTube with it, in that I can monetize the video until about 8 hours later, they'll remove the monetization and won't give me a chance to like re-up it or anything, and won't give me a reason why. And I have a feeling it's because Freddy Krueger has started appearing in the videos.
I have not had that problem with my videos. I don't. Let me check and see.
I just noticed, like, the second episode, it went away, and then I put up the third video, and it was like, oh, yep, everything's good, and then the next day I checked, and it was taken down again. Again, no notice, don't know why, but the very first one that we did, before we put the rules to it and started making a tournament out of it, that one's still up, and that was also the one where we couldn't use the secret characters for whatever reason.
Mine are all monetized and have given me no problems whatsoever.
Hmm.
I'm not getting any notification. The only key difference I could think of is, and I know YouTube swears it's free to use. You're using YouTube's music at the beginning, right?
I am.
I am not. I am using the Mortal Kombat 1 character select soundtrack.
Which I would think that would have stricter copyright.
I know.
Over
I thought for sure that would. I was like, I'm gonna get fucking bumped for this, but no. I mean, I guess technically it's because the company that did that hasn't existed in about 10 years now, so they aren't around to file a copyright claim, but yeah, I thought for sure.
Yeah, so I don't...
Hell, the very first one we did didn't have an intro music. I used the clip of Shang Tsung screaming, "It has begun." Nothing. Just monetized. No problems.
I think that I used that the same music for that one. I'm going to check right now. So talk while I look something up.
So...
Make this interesting while I'm quiet.
Make this interesting. What Mike is doing right now, basically, copyright law is the biggest goddamn crock of bullshit you're ever going to encounter. Those are my two tips to you when you are making YouTube videos. Be prepared to either use copyright-free or CC-approved music, Creative Commons-approved music, or not have the ability to monetize. Also, know your fucking video formats, because an MP4 versus an AVI is the difference in, like, 20 hours of video uploading. Nope. Mike can agree with me on this.
Yes, it is.
And it's fucking mind-blowing to me how much time I wasted before I knew that. Also, MP4 looks so much better.
But, no, I've got the same music on the first video, still monetized, but the first two of the tournament, were undid.
That is weird as shit.
And yeah, I figured it was Freddy Krueger. I thought maybe because he's a movie character, there's different rules about using his likeness. But, this
can
is
you
very
not
strange.
Click on copyright notices and it'll let you click to where you can see why?
Copyright notices. Let's see here. No, the only ones...
I know this is like the least compelling internet podcast ever, but I would really like to know what is causing this.
No, the only two that I have there are three are times that I tried to use the Entertainer, which I thought was like well within what's the public domain.
Public Domain, yeah.
I thought it was old enough, but apparently not. One of my Lollipop Chainsaw videos, in the background it has the Lollipop, Lollipop song in it.
Yeah.
And that got knocked. And then another one for using, like, some techno song that the creators say, go ahead and use it. But then it got matched for third-party content, and when I disputed it, they said, nope, they're still claiming that it's theirs and you can't use it, even though it says on their website that they never knock people for using their music. So,
yeah. Now, I've got
nothing about any of the Mortal Kombat videos. They just took it away for no reason at all. Thanks, YouTube, you pricks.
I've got a slew of copyright notices from Sentai Single Shots.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, if you are listening and you don't live in America, you probably cannot watch Sentai Single Shots. And I would apologize, but you're really probably not missing that much right now.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, but then I got a pop for The Sims 3 because I played The Sims for a little bit while I was testing a Twitch stream, and then I exported it to YouTube, and it popped me because of the music on the soundtrack. Bob the Axe Ninja because it's a Sarah McLachlan song with Ninja Turtles footage. I don't know which one got popped. The Room got popped because The Room got popped, but neither Ewoks, Shadow Warriors, or Body Slam got popped.
Well, I don't think that anyone's looking to protect Ewok, Body Slam, or...
Ewok, Body Slam, Shadow Warrior?
Ewok, Body Slam, Shadow Warrior.
The best movie ever made. Hulk Hogan is wicked.
Hulk Hogan is an Ewok.
Star Cruiser, brother! I also got popped for...
Roddy Piper and the Tonga Kid.
I also got popped for my WWE 13 video, God versus Randy Savage.
Why?
Well, the same reason you did. Didn't you start... You weren't allowed to, like, pop... You weren't allowed to do a WWE 13 footage, right? You couldn't monetize it?
Oh, right, yeah, for monetization.
Yeah, it's WWE 13 footage. Or it may just be because it's God fighting Randy Savage. And then also my Raw Reactor music clip, where I overlaid Never Gonna Give You Up over Alex Riley's Titantron. Still one of my favorite things I've ever done.
But yeah, as far as the Mortal Kombat ones, have not gotten one notification as to why they're not accepted. So I figured that for the next one that we record, if either of us lands on Freddy Krueger, I'm going to superimpose a picture of Robert Englund and just have his like giant head floating around over Freddy Krueger and cover up the name and everything. And
it won't happen because you won't put in the effort it would take to do that.
Oh, I will.
It's going to take you a week to edit that video. Mm-mm. I hope to God I get Freddy Krueger in every match.
No, I've become very good at working the ScreenFlow editor.
I have not. I'm doing Premiere, and I have not gotten into like After Effects or any of that stuff yet. I am just strictly video editing and overlaying music and graphics, and I've gotten very good at that. So at some point, I'll start tinkering with After Effects too.
After Effects is a bear. I worked with it a lot in college, and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those programs that will fight you every step of the way.
It's something... I'm not looking forward to the day when I decide it's time to use After Effects for anything, but as it is right now, I've not needed it, and I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, when you start using it, you are going to cry and yell and swear and be upset.
I already do that some nights just using Premiere.
Yeah, you're going to do it even more.
Just going to, like, fucking delete the YouTube channel, close out all my internet, and fuck it.
I'm done with the whole internet.
That's when Chris took off in management. It was the weirdest thing.
But yeah. It's very,
so
very strange.
If anyone from YouTube is listening to this, and you can explain why Mike's Mortal Kombat video was popped.
Both of them.
Both of them.
With no notice.
No notice. Do you not reset them to monetized?
I can't. There's no option to do so. It just said, like, nope, you can't do that, and doesn't even give me the option to say, but yes, I can.
Interesting. Anyways, so that's Mike and I's combats with YouTube this week.
Yeah, so if you know why, or can give any of us an explanation as to why it's okay for Chris to do it, not me.
Could you imagine us trying to do this shit like 5-10 years ago when YouTube would only let you upload 10-minute long videos?
Oh, God.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Then I never uploaded anything then, but it was just like a fucking sea of 10-minute videos.
I remember trying to upload stuff on there, and good lord, yeah. It took like 6 hours to upload 10 minutes.
I take that back. I did do one video. It's still up on my channel. Well, one series of videos. Me and a friend of mine were going to do a Wii Fit challenge where I was going to do Wii Fit for like a month and see if I actually lost any
Remember
weight.
that?
Do you remember that?
Didn't you like hit your hand or almost hit your hand on the ceiling fan?
Yes. I also, the first day we did that, I also like pulled something terrible. I can't remember what I did, but I got home and basically couldn't get out of my car. That was a good idea that I'm glad we never finished. We took a break because it was 4th of July weekend and he was going out of town, and we just never finished it. Much like Mike's Lollipop Chainsaw.
That game.
I've still got to play that at some point.
From where I'm at right now, if they had taken out the whole chunk that I was last at when I played, I don't think the game would be worse off.
You think you actually would have finished it?
I probably would have by now, because yeah, that just like running through this farm and jumping on a, what is it, a combine? Is that the thing with the big thresher in the front?
Sure.
Okay. Jumping on one of those and mowing over zombies. But the thing doesn't control for shit, and you have to get every single zombie on the screen to advance, and some of them get kind of up in the corners of the map. And you can't quite get up into the corner of the map, so you gotta kind of drive around in circles until they decide they want to wander out and then get them. God, it's just so mind-numbing and terrible.
So I'm moving away from the projects we're working on to other projects that are coming out soon. Did you see the Batmobile?
I did see the Batmobile. I was linked to it on Facebook.
When did we decide that Batman has to drive a fucking tank all the time?
Since Fuckwit did it, and
Frank Miller?
yes.
Frank Miller did it first.
But yeah, I was thinking, what is his name? The idiot that did the Dark Knight movies.
Christopher Nolan?
That's the one.
That's the
I was like,
one.
Christopher, I couldn't remember his last name.
Christopher Walken? No, that's not it.
Yeah, he did the Bat Tumbler, and everyone was like, this is the greatest movie ever. And because that's how Warner Brothers works, it's like, hey, everyone liked that movie, so we need to replicate every single part of it.
And that's how you got Man of Steel. A movie where no one smiles or has fun at all. Even in the flashbacks where they showed Superman as a kid running through a field, his dad was still standing there looking just very gloomy. God damn you, Kevin Costner. No, it's
He never wanted a kid, and now here's this alien kid, and god damn it, I'm gonna
that
pretend that I
fucking
love you
movie.
because you're a child, but you fucking little alien bastard. Why'd you have to land in my backyard?
We've already done an hour on why Man of Steel
I
sucks.
know.
I don't think I want the world to suffer through another hour. Don't get me wrong, I've got it in me.
We're a half hour into this conversation.
My dad loves that movie, by the way.
I remember you saying that.
Like the last two times I went home, he was watching Man of Steel. I'm like, fucking really?
I still haven't actually seen it.
Well, you gotta see it to get ready for Batfleck and the Batfleck tank in Superman versus Batfleck, Dawn of Money, Please Help.
Dawn of every DC character we could fit into a movie.
They had a spy shot of one of the actors for the movie, and everybody is kind of, some people are saying he's playing the Flash, some people are saying he's playing Jimmy Olsen, nobody really knows, nobody's confirmed it. They had a picture of him in a suit, except for from like the shin down, he's wearing like green socks, like they're going to digitally alter something. And of course, everybody's like, he's the Flash, they're gonna make his feet look fast. And I was like, that's fucking stupid. Why would you just make his feet look fast? And somebody who supposedly works on the set said, no, he's playing Jimmy Olsen. He has prosthetic feet because they were crushed in the battle in Metropolis at the end of Man of Steel.
So they put green screen shit on his feet.
To do something stupid that they don't need to do because they think it's grim and gritty in story.
He can't.
No, that is not confirmed, of course. Now you can't do prosthetics. What do you think this is, the 90s? Why would you want a realistic prosthetic when you could do something that looks fake and costs five times as much?
Is it gonna have like claw feet that they don't
God,
have like actual prosthetics for, so they need to digitize them?
Here's my question. Why doesn't he just wear fucking shoes?
Yeah! Like, it's 2000... It's gonna be, what, 2016 when this movie comes out? 15?
Yeah.
And...
Next year.
We are at the point now where we have prosthetics that look like real feet! And act like real legs! And you just put shoes on over them and no one knows!
He's just got, like, big Terminator feet. Terminator, like, claw feet.
Yeah, he pulls them off and there's, like, a three-toed robotic foot under there.
Oh, hey, everybody, it's Jimmy.
He walks into the Daily Planet and he's stomping around and the people on the floor below him have plaster falling off the ceiling onto their desks and shit.
Somebody trips over his foot and they break all their toes.
It's Bionic Jimmy Olsen. Fuck.
They're going to reveal he's got, like, a gun in one of them so they can put a kryptonite bullet in it so he can, like, kick a bullet into Superman's chest or something.
This is for crushing my leg, Superman. Kapow! Karate kryptonite bullet.
That movie's going to be so goddamn bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even opposed to Ben Affleck as Batman anymore. I think for what they... supposedly want to do with Batman. Like, I think as an older Batman, I think Ben Affleck would be great, but they're wanting Batman to be, like, pushing 60 in this movie?
I said when in this conversation that I was tagged in about the Bat Tank, they started talking about how Affleck is a bad choice for Batman, and Daredevil was an abomination, blah, blah, blah.
No.
I said I never understood the dislike for Affleck or Daredevil. I think he'll do all right for the kind of Batman that they're going for in this movie. That said, seeing who's behind the movie and what they're planning for it, Batfleck will not be the biggest sin this movie commits.
Yeah, I think Affleck will be fine as an older Batman. I think Henry Cavill was a great choice for Superman. There is, like, one really good Superman movie in Man of Steel. There is, unfortunately, also one really shitty Superman movie, and they're just kind of weaved in and out of each other. Henry Cavill was great in that movie.
Kind of like Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Exactly. There's one really good movie, and then there's, like, one or two really shitty movies. Unfortunately, they're all just in the same goddamn script. I think the girl they've cast as Wonder Woman looks great. I think that costume looks wonderful. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with her.
She's too skinny!
Fuck you. That's my response to anyone who says that. Fuck you. Too skinny.
She's too skinny and too short and...
She's got more goddamn muscle tone on her than Spider-Man does now. That motherfucker is tiny. I'm not opposed to that, because Spider-Man's supposed to be tiny. But he's tiny.
No skinny women in my Wonder Woman.
No comment.
I won't have it! I won't stand for it!
They have all the makings of a really good movie. They just, unfortunately, have a crew that is hell-bent on making something that is... grim and gritty and realistic, and God forbid you have fucking fun at the movies. You're supposed to think about existentialism. No, you're supposed to watch Batman punch Superman, smile, and eat some popcorn.
Yeah, no one's going to Batman versus Superman looking to find questions about the universe. They're going there to watch superheroes fight.
If you can do it and make me ponder my place in the universe, fucking kudos to you. But if I'm not having fun, I'm just going to think about how shitty your movie is.
Look at King Kong versus Godzilla. Was there any existentialism in that? No.
Well, maybe a little bit. I'm bullshitting you.
There
was none of that. I haven't seen that movie in like 20 years. I couldn't tell you.
I'm pretty sure that no one was having some sort of life crisis.
I feel like the director probably was when he realized he had signed on to direct King Kong versus Godzilla. What am I doing? Oh. We have to do two endings? Fuck that.
Let them do their own ending. I'm doing mine where the monkey wins.
Maybe they'll do two endings to Superman versus Batman.
Yeah, but they won't tell people that there's two endings. They'll just, like, randomly release each one to different cities and watch the nerds, like, murder each other.
God, don't say that, because that sounds exactly like something they would do at this stage.
It's like some scheme that they need to thin the nerd herd. And so we're going to release two conflicting endings, not tell anyone, and let them fight it out, just like Superman and Batman would.
When the nerds start showing up in, like, fucking body armor wired into the electrical grid, I'm going to be concerned. So, speaking of people standing over other people, Look at that segue. Someone made a post on FanForum that I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
They said, does every Raw episode still end the way it did when I watched regularly 10 years ago? Either A, someone standing over, wrestler X standing over wrestler Y, or B, wrestler X running away from wrestler Y. To which I replied, it's a fucking wrestling program. How else is it going to end?
Yeah, I guess, like, in a perfect world, the show should end with somebody standing victorious over their opponent to sell the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't really know how to dissect that. Like, yeah, what does he really expect? I mean, okay, so you have the babyface win, and hooray, John Cena is victorious once again. Or you have the heel come out and beat him up, and oh my god, what's going to happen this Sunday? Pay money to find out.
$9.99. which brings us to this week's Raw. Before we get into that, actually, though, Daniel Bryan does not need a second surgery.
Hey.
I
still think that, I read this, though, that they want him back by Survivor Series, which I still think is a little
terrible idea.
Ambitious.
That is their, like, fingers crossed, best case scenario, personally. I say let him have off till the Rumble.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do with him? Bring him back at the Rumble, put him against Brock at WrestleMania. He doesn't even have to win against Brock. You just need him to go all the way. And he can do it. He can put on that fucking David versus Goliath never give up match. We've seen him do it. You could put him in that match and Brock still walk out the champion and the fans would be happy.
I don't know about that.
I feel like they would. I feel like they would. As long as they get a good match out of it, let's be honest, Bryan will win the belt back eventually.
I still think that where the company is at financially right now, they don't want to hang on to Brock beyond WrestleMania.
Right.
Because he has a heavy price tag on him.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he should keep the belt past WrestleMania. I'm just saying he doesn't have to. I'm just saying Bryan doesn't have to necessarily win that match for it to still be something that would appease the fans. Brock won't have that belt past WrestleMania. I'm surprised he's still going to have it past Night of Champions. He's expensive as shit.
Yeah. Well, I think he's going to have it past Night of Champions. He has to. Or else it makes the entire beatdown at SummerSlam completely moot.
I don't see him losing it at a pay-per-view outside of the big... I think the earliest we could see him lose that title would be Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I say outside of the big four. Survivor Series may still be one of the big four, but it hasn't mattered.
It is definitely the smallest of the big four.
It is. It's the smallest of all of the pay-per-views at this point, I think.
We still have, what, Payback?
Well, Payback usually gets some decent matches on, too.
But, I mean, as far as clout that the shows may hold, I mean, there's a lot of... I'm looking at the list here. Battleground, come on.
No, there's some shit on this list, Chris. It's pretty bad. But yay for Bryan not needing that surgery. I hope he comes back soon, but I really hope he heals up first. I don't mind him being gone a little longer.
Yeah.
They're not going to do anything with him right now. He's not going to come back and at fucking Hell in a Cell win the title off Brock Lesnar. They're not going to do that at Hell in a Cell. I say let him come back at the Rumble. Keep it quiet.
Well, I mean, now that news has broke that he's okay, just like anything else, the fans are going to lose their minds and be like, we want him back. You said he's healthy. You said he can come back. Why is he not back? Get mad at him for breaking a promise that they never made.
I am by that same virtue, too. Let's also keep in mind, this is a company that said John Cena was going to be gone for 3 months, and he was back 6 weeks later.
Yeah.
I've always kind of wondered in the back of my mind if maybe they're giving longer numbers than they expect because they have him about ready to come back.
Well,
we'll see.
It always makes for a surprise, and when you want to build someone up as being sort of a badass, it's like they come back from their injury early. I think John Cena does it a little too much, too quickly.
What? No, not John Cena.
It's like, you had to have, like, your entire arm put back together, and you were back in 2 weeks. Take a break. Go have a nap.
No, man, never give up.
Go give your wife some attention so that she doesn't have to use her 37 vibrators.
Champ has arrived. which, going off that, Monday Night Raw this week, the season premiere of a show that never has a season finale.
That confused the hell out of me.
They just wanted those big numbers up against football. Monday Night Football is back, which means now is when wrestling starts to get really good, as they go, oh god, we have competition now. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the boom period, everybody. Really good episode this week. Well, a really good episode with a really shitty Bella segment sandwiched in between it.
I'm going to disagree with you on that.
Fuck you. starting off with a cage match, which was way better than a 30-minute Triple H promo.
Yeah, where he's pandering to the crowd trying to get him to chant 999 because they're doing it ironically to try and piss him off, and it's not working. It's just advertising the network even further. Way to go, Smarks. You showed them.
Damn you, Smarks.
They got you to advertise their fucking show for them. Way to go, guys. Way to stick it to the man. Idiots.
Jericho and Wyatt had a hell of a cage match to start things off. Jericho did a fucking cage dive, which he hyped as the first time he'd done it since his time in the Indies in 1993, despite doing one in WWF in, like, 1998. But that's not the point. Or, 2099?
Well, he debuted right in 99, so it wasn't going to be 98. Yeah.
Surprise!
Remember that time when I breached my WCW contract, showed up on WWE TV to jump off a cage that one time?
He was dressed up as Mick Foley, that's why no one remembered that. That would fuck things up.
What? It was Jericho the whole time?
I did posit a theory that if it was up, if they really wanted to fix some of their booking decisions in WWE right now, they could just have Roman Reigns Superman punch the wall of time.
Chris Jericho and Mick Foley change places in history. Sami Zayn becomes a woman.
CM who?
Hey, if CM Punk never existed, then that means AJ is single again. I am all for this.
Bray managed to win the cage match, which led to Kane, Seth Rollins, and Triple H backstage, where Triple H gave Randy Orton his permission to murder a man.
And Kane was way too giddy for Kane.
Kane was like, I'm so happy to be here.
That was the creepiest Kane has been in the last probably 10 years. Is him backstage going,
did you see that cage match? Oh my god, I love it.
Oh my god, Triple H's court jester Kane would be a really good gimmick, actually. He'd have, like, Kane-themed jester attire, and he'd cartwheel to the ring.
Wearing, like, those floppy hats with the bells on it.
Book it. Fucking book it right now.
Jester Kane.
Jester Kane. He's been everything else.
Why
By the
not?
Way, did you see the WWE animated thing on YouTube? I can't remember the name of it right now. Cheap Pops.
Yeah, the one that got taken down for some reason?
Yeah, it was. Did you see why it got taken down?
No, I just saw that it was up for like a day and then got taken down, and then it was up on WrestleZone when I saw it.
It was up. I watched it. It was fucking hilarious. It got taken down because WWE felt it was funnier than Slam City on the network.
Oh, Jesus Christ! It also had more adult humor. It was aimed at a different demographic. God forbid not everything be aimed at children.
So rather than say, maybe we should release Slam City for free and put this on the network, they said, just don't fucking do that anymore. But it featured, it had Brian, like, in the ring, and every time he was in the ring, Stephanie would come out and be like, all right, tonight you're going to face, they'd have, like, a different version of
like
Kane.
Kane.
Safari Kane. Surfer Kane. And then, like, the pyro went out, water flooded, and he come down on a surfboard. Jester Kane. Book it. It would still be not the most ridiculous thing WWE has ever done.
Nope.
That still goes to the gobbledygooker.
It wouldn't be the weirdest thing Kane has ever done, being a wrestling dentist. Or the fake Diesel.
Corpse rapist. This led to Dolph Ziggler cutting a promo, which was a little squicky, given the time frame he cut it in.
It was
kind of like, Dolph, I don't know.
It was topical.
It was topical. He had some hacked photos of The Miz and Damian Sandow. Here's the question I posit to you. JBL brought it up. There's a picture of Damian Sandow shaving The Miz's back.
Mm-hmm.
Who took the picture?
Maurice.
Fair enough.
She's Miz's wife. She would be there.
Miz, you son of a bitch.
That's really why you hate him. It's not that you're tired of the chicken shit heel or the weird non-baby yes. face that he was. It's that you're jealous just... that he married Mandy.
Yes. Yes, that's what it is. Ziggler and Miz, of course, having a title match at Night of Champions. The rumor is Ziggler's going to retain, and then he's going to feud with Bray Wyatt, because Bray Wyatt, for some reason, wants the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah. There's another feud that's going to go fucking nowhere.
The problem with Bray Wyatt's character is I cannot think of it. You've not given a single reason why he would want a title.
Well, I mean, there's a sort of money equals power type of thing around the world championship.
Right.
That they've always sort of had, that the champion kind of rules the company. So any title other than the world title, I don't see Bray Wyatt wanting for any reason. And he would only want the world title because of the authority that it carries with it or something.
Right. Now, I mean, if we still had the kind of late 80s, early 90s, if you hold the Intercontinental Championship, you're basically the number one contender thing going, I could get it. But that hasn't existed since the early 90s.
Yeah. So, yeah, why would he want the Intercontinental Championship?
AJ and Paige followed that up with a tag match with Natalya and Rosa Mendez, where Natalya did not even make it into the ring.
Didn't she start the match?
No, Rosa started the match.
No, I thought Natalya started the match and then Rosa came in.
No.
Second.
I'm almost positive Natalya did not even make it in the ring. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Paige A1. Trainer checked on Orton back, or trainer's checking on Jericho backstage. Orton attacks Jericho. I liked what you pointed out. I really wish they would just write Jericho out by having him just be attacked by Randy Orton randomly all night long, or different people just like run in and punch Jericho for no reason.
Yeah, like I had this idea where like someone was walking, like Seth Rollins is walking backstage and Roman Reigns goes to spear him, and Jericho's like just off camera behind Seth and he jumps out of the way and Jericho gets speared.
I would really love that, actually.
Wherever he walks backstage, he's just getting mauled left and right.
And I feel like even Jericho would be like, my God, that's amazing. Yes, we have to do this. It instead set up Jericho versus Orton for Night of Champions, because why not?
I get wanting to have a big match for the season premiere. So the cage match sort of made sense, but if you're still going to have Jericho around for the pay-per-view, have the blow-off match at the pay-per-view.
Nope, do it on Raw. Do it on Raw. Fuck it, do it on Raw.
I mean, they could have had an equally big match between two other guys and saved the blow-off for Jericho Wyatt for the pay-per-view, I feel.
After that, Heyman and Cena. Really great segment, really great promo for both guys. Mm-hmm. Way better Embrace the Hate promo than Kane tried to cut.
Except at the end where John Cena... the younger, fitter professional wrestler basically bullied the pudgy old man into a fight.
See you next week. Because you know whenever Paul Heyman gets in the ring for a match, it always goes clean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, every time.
Remember that great match with Ryback? Where Ryback couldn't lift him?
I forgot about that. The big guy just struggling.
Yeah, there's a 5-star fucking classic to look up.
Is that every Ryback match?
Just look up any Ryback match.
Just look up Ryback. Just watch him walk to the ring. 5-star classic. Does that like cow milking thing at the entranceway?
He like yanking the cow's udders off doing that.
He kills a cow every time he comes to the ring. That's what it is. Beef. Seth Rollins defeated Sheamus. Kudos to Seth Rollins for taking 10 minutes to beat a guy who was too busy not even looking at him.
Yeah.
And then did you notice Sheamus kind of missed his cue for the curb stomp?
No, I didn't.
You couldn't really tell because the camera was in, but it looks like when Rollins touches Sheamus's head, Rollins has already like landed on the other side of the ring before Sheamus goes, what? And slams his face into the ring. It's very reminiscent of that time where Christian tried to slam Scott Steiner into the ring in TNA, and Scott just kind of did it on his own without Christian moving. Yeah. That's my favorite. I love that. I'm looking forward to Cesaro versus Sheamus. I think that has potential to be a really good match.
Yeah, that I had a problem with this match, and it's the same shit that they always do with the Money in the Bank holder, where they have to, like, if they're not going to outright bury him, then they have to make him look kind of not ready. And in this, Seth Rollins, a guy who's been on a fucking roll, had trouble beating a guy who wasn't even paying attention to him.
It's hard when you remember that Rollins, even though he was in a stable, just spent 2 years tearing through the upper mid or the upper card of the entire continent.
Yeah, like for the last 2 years, he's been destroying guys like Triple H, The Rock, John Cena, and
they took out the goddamn Undertaker.
Yeah, and now he's struggling with Sheamus. I did not like that.
No, that was he should have been protected. They should have had some angle where the authority was keeping him out of matches or skewing them in his favor, something like that.
Yeah, you would figure that their golden boy here, they wouldn't put him in a match against someone like Sheamus.
Yeah, he should be doing, like, squat. He should be fucking fighting Zack Ryder every week.
Yeah.
Of course, they just released most of their jobbers, so I guess that's why.
Zack Ryder or Heath Slater.
Ryder? Slater's too busy with Slater-Gator. And they're too busy with Adam Rose and that goddamn bunny.
It's Sting!
We'll get to the bunny. No, you know what? If they really want to do that with Seth Rollins, though, you know what the easy out would be? Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins versus Hornswoggle. Nothing makes a heel look great quite like him just like... And you know Hornswoggle will do it. He'll bump and he'll sell. Throw that little fucker just across the goddamn ring.
Yeah.
Just pick him up from one post and throw him across the ring to the other.
There's a lot of things they could be doing differently with Rollins that they're not, and it's kind of frustrating.
Oh, Seth Rollins. It's okay. Dean Ambrose comes back next Sunday.
Yay.
Yay,
Dean Ambrose. Is he already done filming his movie?
The plan right now, he's announced for the Raw after Night of Champions. It is expected he will do some sort of a run-in at Night of Champions. And the movie will have finished filming by then. Only takes a couple weeks to film a movie nowadays.
Apparently. It's crazy. Remember the time when it took, like, 2 years to film a movie?
Yeah, when there was, like, film and whatnot?
Yeah.
And now you can just, like, shoot a scene and then go right then and see what it looks like? The future's amazing. I hear about some of these, like, big movies that have, like, 2 week shoots, and I'm like, that's goddamn insane.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those, to be fair, are, like, kind of low-budget horror movies.
Well, no, I've heard of, like, bigger movies that do that, too, but those movies are also, like, 60% CG.
Oh,
follow
like,
the green ball.
Like,
follow the green ball, Shia. Follow the green ball. Okay, that's a wrap.
I was thinking, like, War of the Worlds or something like that.
Yeah. Like,
principal photography only took, like, 2 weeks, but the CGI took another year and a half.
Rusev came out. Did anything else happen to that, or did he just come out and cut a promo? I can't remember. Are they back to just Rusev comes out for 10 minutes and Lana rambles on?
I don't even remember what he did.
That's how great they're doing with Rusev. Supposedly Nikolai Volkov was backstage, and they did film something with Rusev and Nikolai Volkov, but there's no telling when or if we'll ever see that.
Yay for untapped potential.
Yay! Why would we want to put that on the season premiere overall?
You mean an old Hall of Famer comes in and gives his stamp of approval to a young up-and-comer?
Why the fuck would you want that?
Why? Why would you want that on live television?
Hey, speaking of up-and-comers, let's talk about the most exciting thing on Raw. The NXT TakeOver 2 promo match.
That was great.
Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn against Tyler Breeze and Tyson Kidd. Neville, Zayn, and Breeze's Raw debuts. Well, let's be honest. Zayn and Breeze were just there. This was Adrian Neville's Raw debut.
Yeah.
I imagine he's going to drop the title. Maybe he did drop the title. It was yesterday. I imagine if Neville loses the title at TakeOver, God, I hope this doesn't come across as awkward when people listen to this Friday. I imagine he'll be staying on Raw.
See, what I want him to do to sort of drive people to the network that's making them money, is start acknowledging at least the champions on their big shows, Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
It's like, Neville, you don't need to bring Neville in the whole thing. Go ahead.
Right. Well, now, I agree the champions should be allowed to have matches on Raw, but then there's, like, booking and flight and shit like that, because they all stay in Florida by the training center. And that's part of the reason they've, like, reduced the number of Rosebuds. It's like, the Rosebuds were originally all NXT people.
Right, now they're just indie people that they pick up in what.
Yeah, now it's just, like, yeah, now it's just, like, local talent, because they don't want... The NXT people were, like, missing classes and training days and shit like that in order to come be on Raw across the country, and they didn't want that.
Also the expense of flying a dozen people across the country to show up for 5 seconds as background characters for this idiot's entrance.
No kidding. Now, that being said, like, once a month, your NXT champion should actually absolutely show up on Raw.
Well, it's like, I just think before, especially big events like TakeOver, have the champions come out and maybe just not have a whole match like they did even, but cut a promo and say, hey, you know what? This Thursday on the network, I'm going to whip your ass.
Yeah.
It's like, then people would get excited for it. And possibly even just have, like, a squash match with Adrian Neville doing his shooting star flippity whatever the fuck. And
Red Arrow.
And
it's a Red Arrow.
God damn it, Michael, it's called a Red Arrow. But it's like, show off what he can do, get people excited for the match, and then have his opponent come out and say, hey, this Thursday, you better look out. And then that causes intrigue for the show, and then people want to pay money to watch it. Booking 101, for fuck's sake, WWE.
I will say it was really exciting to watch the crowd get into that, and then it was even more exciting to watch the crowd suddenly, like, wake up as soon as Neville hit that Red Arrow.
Yeah. They were kind of dead, not their fault. They don't know who most of these people are.
Yeah.
But, they fucking exploded when he hit that.
I do love the idea of an Adrian Neville-Sami Zayn tag team, because they're just two totally different people. That was a hell of a match. Everybody put on a great show. I really like watching Zayn put on matches. That was really nice. And Neville woke the fucking crowd up. Explosive style. Very good stuff. I hope to see them all very soon on Raw. A taste of what it will be when Vince McMahon dies.
But the problem is...
Vince McMahon will never die?
No, that just because of the way WWE works, and I think Triple H has enough of Vince in him that he still thinks this way, is that instead of like, hey... These guys work really hard. They're busting their ass. People like what they do and like watching them. We need to kind of push them under the rug because we want them to like John Cena.
Right.
It's like, don't let these guys get over or even get on the same level as John Cena. We got to push them down to make Cena look better because we want them to like Cena. And it's like, if that's the case, I'd rather just keep them on NXT where they're still doing good stuff. And it's like you said before, it's like I'd rather see Brian go down to NXT rather than see NXT guys come up to Raw to be just demolished by Mark Henry or whatever.
I got a list of people I think would do better off if they just stuck them down in NXT.
Mm.
That's for another podcast, though. Up next, the Bella segment with Jerry Springer, which was not the best? Not the worst?
JJ Bella for WWE Champion!
And, had another oh my god Bella twin moment when Nikki said, Brie, you're the reason Dad left.
Yeah. That's like they're doing everything to have Nikki just say just outlandish shit to try and get heel heat.
But it comes out so forced and terrible that it just gets awkward.
It does.
So this is what is it so far? You're the reason Dad left.
I wish you died in the womb.
Wasn't there another one?
Not as shocking, but the whole you stole my boyfriend and wrecked my car.
Oh, yeah, the growing up Bella thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. As the Bella twins continue their Hardy Boys 2014 world tour.
The worst thing about it, though, is when... I know, don't even fucking correct the word to joke around. Kayfabe is dead. But can we just pretend a little bit and not have that, like, little backstage videos of them crying and hugging, saying, I'm sorry that I said that. You know, I don't mean it. I'm just playing a character. Or tweeting at each other, I'm sorry. Can we pretend for the duration of this angle that they actually don't like each other? At least if they're gonna cry and hug and all that, do it in private. Don't do it on...
Well, if we're gonna do that, we're also going to have to start acknowledging that The Undertaker is actually an MMA zombie.
He is.
And Brock Lesnar also has to start carrying around buckets of urine. My client, Brock Lesnar, does not believe in modern-day plumbing.
Speaking of buckets of urine, I gotta piss, and this podcast should have been over by now.
Well, we'll pause right here. Mike's gonna go pee, and then we're gonna finish up Raw.
I didn't know we were gonna do a segment-by-segment rundown of Raw.
It was really good this week. Mike, go pee.
Okay.
All right, and we're back. Mike, I hope everything came out all right.
Go home.
The next segment up. Goldust and Stardust took on Los Matadores.
A match of who gives a fuck.
Here comes Goldust in his prime, putting on the best match of his career. Comes down, kneels down, and then Cody Rhodes, dressed up like a fucking Rockstar energy can, does some sort of backwards-ass bunny hop to the ring.
Yeah.
The Usos attacked the Dust Brothers. They don't really have a name yet. I would like to call them the Dropped Balls.
I thought they had a name, but it was like... It's just Golden Stardust.
Yeah, they just introduced them as Golden Stardust.
Yeah. Way to stretch your creative muscles there.
Well, they had to spend all their creative muscle on the Bella segments.
Yeah, we didn't mention that in the Bella segment, also, Jerry Springer actually got hurt.
Yeah, Jerry Springer took a bump. Go, Jerry!
And destroyed his ankle in the process. Because he's like 80 years old and shouldn't be taking bumps. An 80-year-old non-wrestler took a bump and hurt himself. Congratulations, WWE. I'm sure the lawsuit is pending.
So after the tag match and the Joan Rivers tribute that was a better send-off than even Macho Man got.
You're just stealing all my material.
Yep, but I thought it as I was watching it.
Make your own jokes, you asshole.
I've said things like that for years. Because they Macho Man got, like, a little video package.
And they're like, yeah, Macho Man died, here's a video.
Macho Man died.
Joan Rivers, it's like her... She, like, guest-hosted WrestleMania 2, and...
They even got King to narrate her video package.
Yeah.
Like, Macho Man just got that one guy who does all the promos. Macho Man Randy Savage.
WWE would like to pay tribute to Macho Man Randy Savage.
And all the horrible things he did to Vince McMahon's daughter while she was potentially underage. I don't think that really happened.
That didn't actually happen.
This is followed up by, I'm sure, your favorite match of the night, Mike, Adam Rose and Titus O'Neil.
It was only good because of the bunny.
Who do you think the bunny
Sting.
Is?
Sting! I've never seen Sting do a super kick that clean or a top rope splash like that, but it's Sting. He's just trying to throw people off by doing moves that he doesn't normally do.
The last note I saw was that WWE wants to keep the bunny thing going so that the bunny can eventually be revealed to be... Wait for it. You ready for this? Darren Young, despite the fact that the bunny is clearly not Darren Young.
And like a foot taller.
And white.
Well,
look at his hands.
Did the hand show? I thought he was wearing gloves.
No, the hand show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Me, personally, I think it should be Justin Gabriel.
Yeah, but no one knows. Well, I guess no one really knows who Darren Young is either.
No. But Gabriel, because you notice the bunny always goes for Slater.
Yeah.
Gabriel's got a... Yeah, Gabriel and Slater have a history.
Their Nexus history?
Yeah. Well, they were tag partners for a little while after that. But then... If you want to really introduce Darren Young back into this segment, you just put him in his fucking NXT party boy gimmick, stick him in the goddamn Rosebuds, and then have a Darren Young, Justin Gabriel tag team take on Slater and Titus.
What's gonna,
problem solved.
What's going to really happen, though, is that the bunny's going to unmask to reveal that he's been Heath Slater all along.
It's Heath Slater in a Sting mask, but wait, maybe it's Sting in a Heath Slater mask in a Sting mask.
Oh, no!
Stingception!
How does Heath Slater superkick himself? Bunny magic.
This leads to the Bunny Slater-Cody Rhodes tag team. Oh, God, I just hurt my brain thinking of that. That would be terrible. Or the most entertaining thing they've done in years. I can't decide.
Stardust and Bunny Slater. Book that's it! Like one of those... That's not any worse than Jester Kane.
What do you mean worse? Jester Kane is amazing. Jester Kane, new boom period.
I say it's on the same level as Jester Kane.
Okay. If Raw could be closed out with Jester Kane standing tall over Bunny Slater and Stardust, I mean, you may as well just go ahead and write the papers because TNA's buying WWE. See what I did there? It was a swerve.
Yeah.
Main event after this, Reigns and Randy Orton, because nothing gets the crowd hopped up for a fucking season premiere like a goddamn best of 10 series.
Hey, it was the SummerSlam rematch, and SummerSlam and like every Raw leading up to their Evolution matches.
It was the SummerSlam rematch that happened every Raw leading up to SummerSlam and every Raw since SummerSlam. Most notable because I didn't know the cages had pegs that I thought they just rested on the ring.
Yeah, the spike that nearly killed Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't notice that either until I saw it coming down and he's still trying to slide the chair into Orton and this like 6-inch black spike is coming down right into his back. Oh, I didn't know it took that many people to get the cage ready either. That really sort of killed the whole run-in, is the entire ring crew running down and having to set up the cage. It's like,
they've never had to do that before. I don't get that. I wonder if maybe it's something to do with, because I know like different states still have different rules and regulations for wrestling because of back when kayfabe was a thing.
Yeah, we still have the athletic commissions.
Yeah, so I wonder if the pegs are maybe a Baltimore thing, because I don't recall seeing those before.
Uh-uh.
And I know I know like when they were doing the whole CM Punk thing with the cage and who lifted the cage, blah, blah, you didn't have the fucking ring crew around for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So maybe it's a Baltimore thing.
Well, Baltimore also had the weird rules, because Stephanie mentioned that she had faced Vince McMahon in a match in that arena at a pay-per-view like 10 years ago.
When you were much younger.
But I remember that there was a thing that Baltimore athletic commissions wouldn't allow male versus women matches, and so they were going to get a fine for that. And also the Dudley Boys had a tables match on there, and they don't allow tables to be used on wrestling events. And it's like the fine came out to like $1,500, and Vince just said, I'll write you a fucking check. But but yeah, they have these wacky rules. So
wacky rules.
They might have something to do with that. But yep, then the authority, or at least the authority underlings, stood over Roman Reigns.
Nothing sells a season premiere like Randy Orton triumphant.
But it sold the Seth Rollins Roman Reigns match.
Yeah.
So, yay.
Yeah. Yay.
Overall, really good episode of Raw.
The match that occurred because Roman Reigns was like, wait, wasn't I in the Shield too?
Yeah.
I've been too busy talking about how hard I'm going to punch people in the face. I forgot.
Which they could have wrote the whole thing off by having just one segment of him and Dean Ambrose. Ambrose saying, I'm going after Rollins. Reigns saying, I'm going after the belt. Divide and conquer. Like, they were still going to take over WWE with or without Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And they could have wrote it off that way and it would have been fine. But no, that Reigns just seemed to have forgotten for a month or two that Seth Rollins turned on him too.
I just love Reigns, like, one day turn to Ambrose and Rollins and be like, oh, shit, are you guys still here? Which one Ambrose would say, are you still wearing that shitty gear?
That was a thing that really pissed me off. What? I made mention of it, that Roman Reigns is wearing a flak jacket.
Yes.
Randy Orton gets the chair and starts hitting him in the chest. Like, but this thing is meant to stop bullets.
But now, it would still hurt you. Because even when you get shot when you're wearing a flak jacket, you still feel... It's like getting kicked in the chest, man.
It's body armor. It stops. It's still...
It doesn't neglect momentum. It just keeps it from penetrating.
But the visual...
You still feel it.
The visual of hitting an armored guy.
You're already expecting the visual of somebody not dying when you hit them with a chair or, God forbid, put them face first through cinder blocks. So, now you're just nitpicking. I think you just want Roman Reigns to take a stop off.
No, it just killed me that it's like you're hitting a guy wearing body armor in the armor with the chair.
And who knows what Baltimore would have fined them if he hit him in the face.
Well, that would have been WWE. No headshots because Chris Benoit killed his family 10 years ago.
Unless you're the Undertaker or Triple H, in which case you get to take most of the year off and run the company. Good Raw, though. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, soon.
I hope next week continues the trend, but I don't have high hopes.
No.
They can't do it 2 weeks in a row. 6 hours of quality content? What would they do with NXT, then?
Yeah, they already have TakeOver tomorrow yesterday.
Waka, waka, waka. Hey, one last thing. While you were away in the bathroom, Zack Snyder tweeted an official picture of the Batmobile.
Yay!
It has a giant machine gun on the front of it.
Oh, fucking course it does.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Check us out on youtube.com/homeworldvideo. Don't go to Mike's YouTube page. It smells.
Go to my page, because it has better videos than everything Chris has.
Not true. That's the only retaliation I have.
No,
you. Thanks for listening. Join us next week. Next week, we'll talk Night of Champions. We'll give our predictions.
Yay.
I really hope Adrian Neville put on a good show tomorrow yesterday. Thanks, everybody.